Users of Freedom Scientific note takers, take note. The July update is almost here, and to give us some information on what's happening with the Blazy division of Freedom Scientific, we're joined by Alan Holst, the product manager for those products. Alan, nice to have you back on the program once again, and it's that exciting time of the year. Every July we sort of anticipate getting our Blazy note takers updated. How are things going with that this year? We've got a few new features to talk about.
Well, we do. We're quite excited about this year's update. Let's just kind of go through with you what we have. My goal this year was primarily to try to make the units more stable, more reliable, more predictable, and of course add some of the features that people had asked for over the years and address some long-standing customer requests as well. The biggest thing, I think, this year is the insert buffer, is a change to the clipboard. Over time, the clipboard in the Blazy units has been used for a variety of things. Initially, it was there for cutting and pasting, and that was terrific. But then came along the idea of deletions, and the clipboard being where deletions got posted. And of course, that was terrific. I'm sure many longtime Blazy users recall that they could delete data, have it go to the clipboard and paste it back in just by doing an I-cord, E-cord. That was, at the time, that was a terrific thing. And then came along the idea of putting the data from the stopwatch and the results of calculations, and when you did a look at the time or the date, putting that data on the clipboard. And all these things were good. None of these things in their own time was necessarily harmful, except for the fact that, as users note, every time they did one of these operations, the clipboard got cleared. And then in 1998, we came along with this concept of PC Edit, which I think is a fabulous Braille display concept. This is the idea that we can have the text appended or inserted or overwritten. But that, again, made the clipboard even more volatile. So one of the things that I really wanted to do this year was to create a way to have the original intent of that clipboard back, to have a place where you could have control of it for the sake of pasting and for deleting. So we've created a separate buffer for inserting now, and that means that the user has complete control over the clipboard once again. Nothing will go to the clipboard unless the user puts it there. So there are only two things that will cause data now to go to the clipboard. One is if it's pasted, and the other is if you delete data. So pasting, of course, people who use the note takers know the .126 cord. And the machine will never put data on the clipboard unless you do one of those two commands.
That's a huge improvement, isn't it? Because there was a consistency factor. I remember using the Braille Light and thinking, I'm safe. I've deleted something I didn't want to delete, and now I can undo it. But I'd checked the time or done something quite innocuous, and the data had gone. So that's going to be a great feature.
I'm excited about it. It's something that's frustrated me for a while as a user, and I think that people will have to get in the habit once again of relying on it, because I think, just as you point out from your own experience, you probably had gotten away from relying on it. But now, if you want to use the paste command, and you'll recall that under the paste command, there's both the opportunity to copy, which will always clear the clipboard, or to append, which is really neat, because you might have a file with names and phone numbers interspersed with other things, and you could go through now and just clip, clip, clip the things that you want, and then go paste them somewhere, and you can trust that will be there.
That's something that Windows ought to have and doesn't, so that's an advantage that the Freedom Scientific note takers have over Windows in that respect.
I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. Yeah, that's right. I think there are some utilities for Windows that give you that ability, maybe, but you're absolutely right. It doesn't come in its native form.
So what happened to all that data that, I mean, you said you've created a separate buffer for other data that we used to see in the clipboard. Is there any way that the user gets to play with that or access that? I suppose there wouldn't be any need to, really.
There's
would
there? No need to, yeah. Because if you're using insert mode, the data is going to go into your file anyhow. And, of course, if you're using type over, it's going to go into your file. And if you're using append, it's going to go into your file. So So there's no need for the user to ever see this particular insert buffer.
That sounds good.
I would also suggest that there's the undo capability now with the deletion as well. So if you do a deletion, you can always undo it by just pasting the data back into your file that you had deleted when you did a deletion.
Is the default size of the clipboard still set to 4096 bytes, or can you...
It would be user expandable. So if the user wanted to make it larger, he could.
All right, so you just go and use your B command from the file menu to make the thing bigger.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. And what else is on the menu there?
Well, the next thing is something that I think particularly someone in broadcasting might like. This is speaking interval times in the stopwatch. You know, Ocord W has been there for some time, and that's a stopwatch where you can hit the .6 and start it running. And if you're watching your Braille display, you can see the seconds click away. And if you want to hear it, you can press the space bar and hear where you currently are in the stopwatch. The problem with that is if your hands need to be busy doing something else. So, for example, if you want to take your pulse, or if you're going to be cooking, or if you're going to time recordings and you want to hit a post in a music piece of music and you've timed it once and so forth, and you need to have your hand on the button for starting your music at a certain point or something, you would want to have a way of hearing that. So what you can do in the 2001 build is once you're in the stopwatch, you can set any denomination of intervals that you want, and then you can have those either spoken or you can have a click sound so that your hands could be completely free. So, for example, suppose you want it to speak every 7 seconds. You would go into the stopwatch, you would do an I, you would say 7 for 7 seconds, and when you get to 7 seconds, it'll say 7 seconds, 14 seconds, 21 seconds, 28 seconds, etc. Or you can have it just click.
Is there a maximum interval between those spoken announcements?
I haven't tested it. I believe it may be 59 seconds, but the truth is I haven't pushed it to its maximum, and I don't know the answer.
Well, that's all right. We can have a play with it and find out. The stopwatch is a funny feature. It's one of those things you don't miss it until you're somewhere and you don't have your Freedom Scientific note taker with you, and you suddenly think, this is where I need the stopwatch. It's always been there. It's such a useful thing.
Thank you. Yeah, we like to think that it's one of those features that is just something you're carrying with you that you wouldn't think that you wouldn't want to carry a separate stopwatch, but since you have it, we like to think that it comes in handy in various situations.
I've actually been using it to time the candidates for the ACB radio debates that we've been having.
Oh, neat.
Make sure they don't go over their allocated time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and it's a pretty audible kind of click, is it? Easy to hear?
Yeah, it's just like a tick, like a little, kind of a click. You probably wouldn't want to use it if you had an open mic, although if you had it headed into a set of headphones, it wouldn't be too much. And the great thing, I guess, about a click like that is there aren't so many words. You don't have so much verbosity to deal with if you're counting them and keeping track of them.
That sounds good. Okay, so that's the stopwatch. What else have we got?
Well, we introduced Datebook for people a couple of years ago, but we've enhanced it significantly. That you've always been able to have calendar check work so that when you turn your unit on, it will tell you if you have an appointment today. But this was either check appointments on or check appointments off. So if you turned your Braille light or Blazy note taker or a Freedom Scientific note taker on 12 times in a day, you would always be asked if you wanted to check your calendar.
Yeah.
What we've done is added an option that says check it once a day. So if you have an appointment on June 21st and you turn your unit on, the first time you turn it on, it'll say, do you want to check the date book? And if you say yes, you can go look at the appointment you have for that day and everything is just fine. But if you then turn your unit off and back on, it won't disturb you with that question again if you set it to check the date book once a day.
Jolly good, because you were sort of between a rock and a hard place. If you turned it off, sometimes you forget to check your appointments, and if you left it on, it became sometimes a bit annoying.
Right.
Yeah. Cool.
Now, we've added even a little more to that, which is the idea that maybe you don't want to check it once a day. Maybe you don't want to check it every day, but you want to check it if you have an appointment within the hour. So this adds a little more challenge to when you enter the data. But if, when you go into the events field of your appointment book, you enter time in HHMM format, and we'll talk in a moment about how you can do that on a 24-hour basis. You can have it set so that if you turn your unit on and you have an appointment within the hour, it will alert you. And there also is an option in the options menu, O-Court H, so that if you want to check at any point, if you have an appointment within the hour, you can do that.
When you say it alerts you, does it announce the text of the appointment, or what does it do?
No, it works just like the current date book. It asks you if you want to open the date book and see what's there.
Okay.
So it's not like an alarm that goes off like in some of these contact management programs on the PC. We've had a request for that, and quite frankly, I would like to do that, but we weren't able, for some rather complex technical reasons, to get that done in this build. And in fact, it may be better, because if you have an alarm, you know, and you're in any kind of social setting, it interrupts you. I have this problem with Outlook, you know, when I'm doing my email package and it comes in and it says, you know, new mail has arrived, you want to see it now, yes or no. If I'm typing something, that's an interruption to me. So, you know, this is kind of the same thing in that you have to be a little bit proactive, either turning your unit on or doing an O-Court H to know that you have an appointment within the hour. But at least in this sense, it doesn't disturb your current work.
And what about recurring appointments? This is something that I don't think any note-taker in the blindness area is doing at the moment. Are you looking at getting a handle on that so I can put the first Monday of the month or the 20th of every month, etc.?
Not addressed in this update. Probably could do it with a macro. I think that the macro feature of our note-takers is greatly underutilized by our population. If people know how to use it, they use it, and if they don't know how to use it, they may not appreciate it, and we really ought to do something about that. But no, unfortunately, we don't have a way to do that specifically at this point. I'll keep that on my list of things that I should be working on in the future.
Good on you. Some of those note takers of yours do wake themselves up, though, don't they? I think does the type light do that?
Yes, but that's not for recurring appointments. That's for alarm purposes.
Right, yeah, sure. So, okay, is the alarm separate in the Freedom Scientific products from the date book?
Yes, it is. At this point, they're not integrated.
Okay. So you can set, for example, you could set an alarm to turn the unit on at a certain time, and then it might ask you if you want to open the date book if you've got an event that's also taking place at the time you set the
absolutely.
Alarm.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Right. Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the date book, a significant enhancement there.
Yeah. Would it be helpful to go into how you should set the hours and minutes, or is that too much detail?
No. Look, as much detail as you like, that'd be great.
Okay. The way you do that is you write, when you use the date book, it first asks you for the date, and you write that in, you can write that in computer braille or grade 2, it doesn't matter, but when you do your E-cord and get into your event text, you then need to write it in HHMM format, and it assumes AM. So if you write 10:45 and then the data, it will see that as 10:45 in the morning. If you want it, if it's 10:45 at night, you have two choices. You can either add a P to the end, so you'd say 10:45 P, and that would be 10:45 PM. Or you could use the 24-hour clock, and you could say 22:45.
Okay, so that's fairly simple enough. It's similar to the options that Outlook users have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the things that interests me is, you know, you've done a lot with things like the ability to use Blazy products with Windows Explorer now, with WinDisk. It would be really nice to be able to synchronize all of these calendars that we have, such as the ones that we have on Outlook and the one on our Freedom Scientific note takers, wouldn't it?
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great, Jonathan. Yeah. We will just keep that in the back of our hat, and you know, maybe next year when I'm talking about the 2002 update, we can talk about that. Or
we demanding users, yeah. Okay, I seem to recall there are some other things that are new in this release.
Yeah, feature is, you know, it's a little thing, but in my theme of trying to simplify the ability to teach the unit to people and to use the unit, we never, as a blind population, can come to agreement on how we want things echoed. Now, I happen to feel passionately, and I mean passionately, that I want words echoed. I can't deal with letters echoed. And I know people, some very bright people. This has nothing to do with anything other than your personal preference, who absolutely feel as passionately that they want each character echoed. And I think that we should never build a unit that doesn't give people both options. In the original Blazy concept, we only had character echo, and word echo actually came about through the idea of interactive. It really was not a planned feature. It was kind of an accident that fell into the unit. And I was trying to help someone write documentation for our unit about 10 months ago and explain the whole method by which you would turn word echo on. And I couldn't believe how convoluted it sounded when I was trying to explain it, even though I knew how to do it, and it was just a simple matter. So we've added the ability in the speech parameters menu, the AR chord menu, to, instead of having three options, silent keys, key echo, and key echo, silent keys, key click, and key echo. Now we've added a fourth option, which is key echo words. And that essentially is the same thing as doing a G chord to turn on the echoing of characters.
Oh, that seems far more logical. I'm one of those people who's passionate about having no keyboard echo at all. going turning keyboard echo off all over the place. It drives me nuts. Another thing that I noticed some of your other Freedom Scientific products are doing, such as Jaws for Windows, in the last couple of years or so, have introduced both characters and words. So it echoes characters, and then when you press the space bar, you get the word spoken as well.
You know, we don't have that in this particular build, and I've been asked for that twice now in the last 2 weeks, and it's something I'm going to have to look at. I just can't imagine, and this is the danger of being a user of the product, you know, as its product manager. I have to be very, very careful not to build it in my own image, and I do appreciate that many people have different needs than I do, and that we do need to implement that.
You've allowed your dots 7 and 8 to do a bit of double duty on the 40 note takers, I see.
Right, and that's along the same lines as in the Millennium. And what you can do here is use dot 8 as a carriage return and dot 7 as a backspace, and you can turn that feature on and off with an O chord, 8 chord. So if you want to use 8 dot braille, that's no problem for input. If you want to use them as a backspace and carriage return, that's also easy. Then we have some external programs that we're just going to kind of throw into this year's update. We really, over time have added a great deal to the firmware, and we're always bumping up against how much more memory space we have just to add utilities. So we wanted to give people some other features but didn't have room to put it in the unit. So we have external programs that will be a part of the update disk. There is a backup program that will rely on Y-Modem for backing up selected files. It will make it easier to back up your files when you need to rebuild your software if you want to back it up.
Why Y-Modem? You've got your WinDisk technology there. Would that not have been a safer bet to go?
It was a utility that was available that we were able to pick up from a developer that we thought might be a little easier. We just want to give people options.
Fair enough, yeah. And I suppose it could be some other blindness-related device that that also uses the Y-Modem protocol, too.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Then we've got a program that will let you mark text with the mark command and back it up to a given file, similar to the idea of appending to the clipboard that we were talking about a few minutes ago, but a little safer because there's no way that you could accidentally delete it. And then we have a number of games as well we're going to make available a chess game and a blackjack game and a tic-tac-toe game, and I guess a number game, but the one that I'm particularly excited about is a braille display game called Zap'em. And it is similar to one of these fighter games where you need to shoot at a target. And what happens is it puts up a little little lines, two little vertical lines, and then it runs .142536 down the cell periodically, purely at random. And the objective is to hit the target when it's in the 3-6 position. It's a lot of fun.
How amazing. That'll be something good to do when you're on a plane somewhere, wouldn't it?
Well, exactly. I used to spend a lot of time on VersaBrailles playing poker. That's how I spent many hours flying across the country. And I shouldn't admit this, but I do spend a good deal of time playing Hangman now when I'm...
Hey, we just love these main menu exclusives. Does it have any sound with it, the Zapper game?
Yeah, when you hit the target, it does.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so are those games going to be downloadable as well, or do you purchase the update to get those? Well, you can't blame a guy for asking.
Sorry.
I'm not going to download the game.
That's right, it's exactly right. They will be let me give you the politically correct answer.
Yeah.
They will be purchased and available on the 2001 update disc.
All right, then. That's all right. Now, the update, is that for all of the Freedom Scientific note takers?
It will cover all but the Millennium versions. All of these features will make their way into the Millennium versions, but we really felt a strong obligation, Jonathan, to our existing long-term customer base. And, you know, even though we have been through the change from being Blazy products to Freedom Scientific products, Blazy had a long heritage of treating their past customers, making sure that their product continued to have value, both in terms of trade-in and in terms of developing software for products that had been sold in the past. And I wanted to carry that forward to the degree that I could in this build of what we refer to in-house as legacy products. And that's not a term that we would use, particularly, because I don't mean to imply that they're older, but just as a way of segmenting them in our mind. So the BrailleLite Millennium 20, the BrailleLite Millennium 40, and the TypeLite will not necessarily have all of these features in July, but you can be very sure that they will come very soon. And that actually brings me to the other point that I am quite pleased to let you know that at both shows, there will be an opportunity for people to look at either the Millennium 20 or the Millennium 40. They will both be there, and we're quite pleased with the way both of these products are coming.
How are they doing? They're officially out now, and people have them in their hands. Have people been giving you positive vibes about them?
Well, yes. We are quite pleased with where we are at this point. We've had our challenges. All new products go through periods of development and, you know, learning to take their first baby steps and to walk and so forth. But at this point, the Millennium 40 will clearly be at the at both shows. It makes a fabulous Braille display in addition to being a fabulous note taker. We think that the AB switch on it, on all three of these products, the M20, the M40, and the TypeLite, makes that Braille display do double duty. And that's where the incredible value and synergy comes from, because not only do you get a note taker, but you get essentially almost a free Braille display, if you will, if you buy it for the note taker purposes. And to extend that idea, Freedom Scientific has a software product called Connect Out Loud, which runs the free Microsoft programs like Microsoft Internet Explorer and Outlook Express. And if you purchase one of the Millennium products, you will get a copy of Connect Out Loud included. So you can experiment with the idea of using Braille on the computer before you have to become fully invested in it.
That's very interesting, because this represents a kind of bundling between divisions of Freedom Scientific that we, I don't think, have really seen before.
It's something that we want to do more and more as we move forward. Clearly, synergy between these products adds value. You know, when you think about a reading machine, when it was a standalone device, you had to both invest money in two computers, you know, because the reading machine was essentially a computer. But you also had the whole, just the space issue. You know, I only have limited desk space, and I'm sure every other blind person who struggles with technology has the same issue. So I'm always eager to build synergy between the note takers going forward, between the note takers and other Freedom products, and I hope that this isn't the first announcement we have of such synergies.
You know, there has been talk that, as you say, the Millennium series is a new product, and there are bound to be some bedding in issues. Does that mean that there are frequent software updates available to the internet literate Millennium customer at this point?
Yes, it certainly does. What I'm focused on, and I think the customers should be focused on, is the particular piece of hardware they buy. That needs to be stable and right when they purchase it. But when you look at things that people are concerned about, quite often they are firmware, what you and I understand to be actually software that runs in the unit, and that is quite upgradable. We continue to make strides in all iterations of Millennium firmware, and that actually has been where most of the development has come in the last several months. And I continue to push the programmers, and I don't mean to take credit here. They have done some great stuff, and we continue to just, all users continue to just push for features that they want, and we try to prioritize them into what is doable now, and build a tree of things that can be done so that we're not wasting, you know, time doing hard things when we can get simple things done that people want. But we do the hard things when we have the underlying structure in place to do them. So the answer, short answer is yes.
Now, I understand there will be full service available at both consumer organization conventions this year. How much can be done to those legacy products? I know that I actually took mine along to a convention a few years ago and got double speed installed, and that made a nice difference, and a few other, I think, additional memory as well. Yeah, that was, it was a flash ROM upgrade. Can you change the speech to the new Freedom Scientific Note Taker speech in the legacy units?
Not now. That's something we thought about doing at one point. It's something that I would like to do. Unfortunately, the market will have to determine whether people are willing to really pay what that would cost. If you look at a Braille and Speak and you look at a double talk, just an external double talk, and you look at the prices of those, and you think you're going to take your Braille and Speak and add what is essentially a $300 piece of hardware to it, it's a little hard to make a case for that. So we don't currently plan to do that. I am always eager on our email support list to hear people's views on this, and I've heard many people express the view that they would like to get double talk in their classic unit. And what we haven't done yet, and I would welcome input on our support list on this, is would people really be willing to pay $450 for that? I don't know whether it's economically reasonable.
There isn't a Braille and Speak Millennium, is there?
No, that is currently not on the chart. I expect and hope to have data for people who want that at some point in the future, but I'm not prepared to say when or what that will look like.
Don't make those sort of promises.
That's right.
Only get software and hardware people into big trouble when things go wrong.
That's right.
How much is the upgrade for the Freedom Scientific note takers?
$75.
Oh, that was a quick answer. All right. And what are the means by which people can purchase that upgrade, or even better, can they download it?
Well, first of all, the easiest way, you were asking about what can be done at the convention. That is the easiest way, to go to the convention and simply purchase the update disk, and they can help you if you need help getting the update installed. That's the easiest way. But you can always call the 800 number, the 800-444-4443. It's a wonderful, easy-to-remember Arkenstone number. And ask for sales, and they can execute that transaction for you and send you a disk. I think they could even arrange to email it to you if you're in a super big hurry, although I would think you would want the disk. So my recommendation is if you're coming to the convention, execute it there. If you're not coming to the convention, give us a call and review what's the best option for you. Or, of course, if you deal regularly with a Freedom Scientific dealer, you can do that.
If I go to the convention and I get my hands on a Millennium and I fall in love with it, have you got any nice upgrade paths for users of the older note takers?
The short answer is yes. Your Blazy product will continue to have value in trade. And I don't want to get into, as is my policy, because your program is worldwide and because different dealers may want to have a little bit of room for their own plans, and because each unit is different and each situation is different, I don't want to get into specific dollars. But the short answer is yes, of course. Your current Blazy product does have trade-in value, and that is one way to go. I think it's also a nice thing to do if somebody is so inclined to try to sell it privately, so that people who have lesser means can get into the technology as well. So either method is fine.
So it might be a good idea to go and see the local Freedom Scientific person at the convention and, you know, buy them a beer and talk turkey.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, that's fine. I think that covers pretty much all bases. And if people want to find out more, you're still running a support list, aren't you, for the Freedom Scientific note takers?
We are. And I should add that we've made a change to that support list. We had a lot of complaints recently that we had not directed responses. If people responded to support list, they were going back to the individual who wrote on the list. You know this as somebody who's a list administrator, how they can be set up in different ways. We have gone back to the classic Blazy way of letting all responses go to our email list. I'm a little nervous about it, frankly, because I know how easy it is for people to vent their spleen on a list like this, and not intentionally, but unintentionally frustrate a lot of other people, and I'm hoping that doesn't happen here, but we have put the list back to responses going to the list. You can send a message if you go to our website, the best way to get on the list is to go to the website, and there's an opportunity there to get on the list.
Yeah, I do feel a bit sorry for companies who are using their resources to run lists like this, because I've been on a number of product lists where people come on and start endorsing the rival product, and
right.
That gets a bit tough, I suppose.
Well, I have an immense amount of respect for the competitor, and they have, I think, improved the world for all of us who use the product because they've created an honest competition. I think that the Protestant Church is one of the best things that happened to the Catholic Church. I think that when you go to countries where they have, you know, the loyal opposition, it helps to keep everybody honest. But I am eager to keep the battle or the discussion respectful.
Yeah, and fair enough too. Just before I go, can I just briefly come back to the Millennium and ask you about the status of the email client? Because on some email lists that I run or frequent, I see that some people say it's out there, some people say it's not. Is it being shipped to Millennium customers at this point?
It is being shipped to Millennium customers at this point. It does come with all new products purchased. Now, that being said, I will say two things about this. Number one, the biggest challenge for anyone with this is going to be making the initial hookup. Once you, the initial hookup, and it's of course true with a PC as well, but here it's a little more challenging. The initial installation is difficult. Once you get through that, it's like going downhill. But getting through the initial hookup can be a little dicey, and we do have technical support people ready to help you with that. The second thing is that whether you're talking about our product or the competitor's product, people need to recognize that neither of these are fully functioning PCs. And I don't even like to do email on my laptop. I like to do email on my desktop. And none of that is to take away from the email package. It's just to help people set realistic expectations.
When you say that the installation is difficult, what about it is difficult?
Well, actually, we have a wizard for installation, which makes creating the file a snap, but getting the right answers from your ISP about what to put into each of those boxes can be a bit, a bit challenging. You want to make sure, like all computers, the answers have to be exactly right. And because the ISP is used to answering questions for people who have MSIE or are using Windows 98 or using a Macintosh, you call them and you say, "I'm using a Millennium Braille Light," and they're going to say, "A what?"
Yeah.
So that's all I mean by that.
Okay. So if you've got a list of your, I suppose one way to do it might be to bring up your Outlook Express or whatever it is you're using on your PC and copy those settings across in some way.
You certainly can use the, you can't copy them across as in going across a serial port,
right,
but you certainly could use the boxes and fill in the information.
Sure. Well, Alan, as always, I appreciate your candor and you coming on the show to give up some time, and we'll look forward to perhaps in the near future to talking at greater length about the Millennium and what's going on with the Freedom Scientific Notetakers.
It's always a privilege, Jonathan.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
It's time for us to log off for another week. On behalf of all the Main Menu team, this is Jonathan Rosen saying thank you for listening.